In 1980, Joe and I celebrated July 4th in Butler, Pennsylvania. It was a Friday, and we spent the day packing because the following Monday, we would drive our car and U-Haul to begin 40 years of ministry in Ohio. We have obviously thousands of memories from those 40 years. One that comes back to me regularly was in preparation for my first Reformation Sunday sermon. As I talked about the upcoming sermon, the senior pastor made a comment I'll never forget, keeps coming back to me. It was a true statement, and it was obvious. He said, "We don't worship Martin Luther." I think of that statement every Reformation Sunday, and I probably tell this story every time I have a membership class. That statement kept coming back to me as I prepared this sermon during our celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Just as we don't worship Martin Luther, the person, we also don't worship the United States of America. We don't worship the flag. We don't worship any elected leader. As disciples of Jesus Christ, these statements are true and obvious. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we believe this in everything. We don't worship the church. We don't worship church buildings. We don't worship a denomination. We don't worship pastors or bishops. Again, true and obvious. In all the things that I've mentioned and more, we honor them. We respect them. We even love them. But we don't worship them. Because above all else, we worship God. We heard a fundamental teaching of our faith today in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Love God, walk in God's ways, serve God, and give glory to God. Worship God alone. This was echoed in Psalm 145. And then we heard in chapter 4 of Paul's second letter to the young pastor Timothy, to God be the glory forever and ever. Paul wanted that to be the summary of his life. To God be the glory forever and ever. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, we heard that Jesus healed a paralyzed man. The response of the people is really important. After the healing, Mark tells us they were all amazed and glorified God. They didn't worship the paralyzed man. They worshiped God. So a basic theme of our faith runs through these readings. Worship God and give glory to God. And there's another theme that runs through these readings. In Deuteronomy, we hear some of God's priorities. Caring for the orphans, the widows, and strangers. Psalm 145, we heard, the Lord is good to all. The mission of believers is summarized in Deuteronomy with one word. Also, what God does, we do also. We are to care for the most needy and the vulnerable. We are good to all. Paul wrote that the work of God is to rescue. That work, he said, was done through him. That means that God's work is done through people. The healing story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 has always been a favorite of mine. The only way that the paralyzed man was healed was because people ripped open a roof to lower the man to Jesus. Four people brought a hurt man to Jesus. This is the work of believers participating in God's healing. The other day I was telling a friend about this sermon. The conversation reminded her of a story that she heard in church as a child. Most of us have heard it. A man's caught in a storm and his house is flooded. He believed that God was going to save him. And a rowboat comes by and he doesn't get in saying, "God's going to save me." And another boat comes by and another, and he says the same thing, "God's going to save me." And eventually the man drowns. And when he gets to heaven, he says to God, "You promised to rescue me. Where were you?" And God says, "I sent you help three times and you refused." The story teaches us that God rescues us through people. God's rescue comes through us. I'll come back to this. Following the sermon today, we're going to sing the hymn, "America the Beautiful." The words were written as a poem by Catherine Lee Bates in 1893. Most of you are familiar with her name. She wrote this as a poem on a trip out west. She started writing, actually putting the words down in the poem, as she was on top of Pike's Peak in the Rocky Mountains. And I just learned this past week that her poem was originally titled Pike's Peak. What's most important to me about her poem really is that it's a prayer. We sing about the beauty of our nation. And as we sing about that, every verse leads to prayer. It's a call and a reminder. America, America, pray. Pray, America, that God shed grace upon us. Pray that God refine our gold. To refine gold means to get rid of the impurities, to get rid of the sin. My favorite prayer in this song is, "God, mend thine every flaw." We don't worship Martin Luther because he was a flawed human being. We don't worship the church because we're a group of flawed human beings. We don't worship America because we are a flawed people. When we remember our origins, the injustices through the ages, including slavery, political divisions, hatred of fellow Americans, violence, mass shootings, we are a flawed people. Most of all, we don't worship Martin Luther, the church, or America because none of these are God. That's why I love this prayer so much. We turn to God to give us grace. We turn to God to refine us, to cleanse us of our sin and give us forgiveness. We turn to God to mend us, to mend our every flaw. As beautiful as America is, and America is beautiful, we're flawed, and we need to turn to God. America, pray. The final verse of the song invites us to see beyond the years. We hear there an image echoed from the book of Revelation. We look at God's alabaster cities gleaming, undimmed by human tears. As we live in this beautiful nation, this beautiful world, God's mission for us, the mission that Jesus gave his life for, is to look beyond all the years. Our future is to ultimately live in God's presence for all eternity, where there is no division, where there are no flaws, where, as the book of Revelation tells us, there are no tears, undimmed by human tears. We're celebrating America's semi-quincentennial with fireworks, parades, tall ships, concerts, family gatherings. I especially love what they're doing in Philadelphia at Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. We're placing a time capsule at that place to be opened 250 years from now, our 500th anniversary as a nation. Ah, looking beyond the years with hope. I said I'd return to the belief that God works through people. We just can't stand on top of a flooded house and expect God to reach down a giant hand and rescue us. No. God sends people to rescue people. Last evening, I made a note that one of my sisters had trouble in the pool this past week and needed help. It wasn't God's giant hand from heaven reaching down. It was people who helped her. God sends people to rescue people. This is a place where the proverb applies. Be careful what you pray for. When we pray for God's grace, God's refining, God's mending, we're committing ourselves to participate in bringing God's grace, God's refining, God's mending to the world. We are the rowboats that help rescue those who are drowning in the storms of life. We bring God's grace. We are the refiners, the menders, the healers. We are the ones who rip open the roof. Not literally, please. We are the ones who rip open the roofs to bring people to Jesus for healing. We are God's giant hand reaching out into the world to do God's work. This isn't easy work. As flawed human beings, we haven't always done this work. We haven't always done this work well. This celebration is a time to recommit ourselves to doing God's work and to give glory to God. My prayer for this 250th anniversary of America is this: God, shed your grace on us. Strengthen us to be instruments of your grace. God, refine us, sift out the impurities of our nation, remove our sin, turn us away from sin of every type and greed. Oh God, mend our every flaw. Help us to resist division, hatred. Help us to turn away from injustice, lack of self-control. And God answers this prayer. You, my children, are beautiful. America the beautiful. You, God says to us, you are beautiful. I give you grace. And I send you to give grace. God says to us, I send you to refine. God says, to mend every flaw, I send you. I send you. I send you.